Hello, and welcome to Grace Unscripted, where we share stories of the people in and around Grace Church without any script, just real, raw conversations about life change through Jesus. I'm your host, Audrey Wallace, and today's guest is Lisa Knapp. Now, you might recognize that name if you've been listening for a while, because we did interview her daughter-in-law, Wendy Knapp, some time ago. So I hope that you listen to both of them and compare all the notes, and we do see all that fruit come through in this story. But man, guys, I can't even think of how to introduce this story that Lisa shares with us, because frankly, my jaw is still on the floor in so many ways, and my heart is just so touched. And even thinking of the long life that she's been gifted to live, and just these later in life transformations she's been able to have, and the reason that all those came to be. So just honestly, sit down, grab a nice beverage, and just cozy up, because Lisa's story is really going to touch a lot of lives. Lisa, welcome to Unscripted.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to finally meet you and get to talk to you.
It's fun when there's like people that kind of know of each other, but yes, you don't really know each other.
Yes. So I saw you at the retreat.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like I know you, because I've listened to so many Unscripted.
Oh, well, that's fun. And even through the retreat, I'm sure we'll be a shining star in this story. But yes, I'm excited to hear everything that God did for you that weekend as well. We're talking about the women's retreat. For those who might not be aware, at Grace, we have an annual women's retreat. We had it just this past March, and we'll have it again next year in the spring.
And that was my first year to go.
Oh, exciting.
So, yes, okay. I was very excited about it.
Well, I'm curious to hear how you got there, but let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
Did you grow up in the Akron area? What's your origin
story? I did.
Story?
I did. I grew up in Kenmore.
Mm-hmm.
I moved to Norton in eighth grade.
Ah, okay.
I grew up Catholic.
Okay.
My parents were very active in the church,
mm-hmm,
and I did all the right things. I went to my religion classes and made my sacraments,
mm-hmm,
and everything that a good Catholic girl should do.
Okay.
So I married my high
Hold
school.
Hold on. I'm not ready for marriage yet. Let's
talk
more about good Catholic Lisa in her upbringing. So was this stuff that penetrated your heart, or you're like, I went on Sunday, I did the things I was supposed to do so that I'm good enough for the rest of the week, and then I confess, and then I do.
Yes. Okay. Only I did not confess.
Okay.
That was not part of, I should kind of back up a little bit. My mom was raised Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
So when her and my dad got married, she converted to Catholicism.
Mm,
and so they could be married in the church.
Right. Okay.
So she had a little bit more liberal views of the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
So she couldn't understand confession.
Mm.
And we kind of took that on then too.
Yeah.
Because when you can go directly to God, why would you go to a priest?
Yeah.
So there were a couple things that she really didn't understand, and so she didn't kind of follow the Catholic rules at that point.
Okay.
So, and
you
we were kind of raised
that
with that.
Along with her faith.
We went to Vacation Bible School,
mm-hmm,
at a Protestant church, and we did, which was really kind of a novel thing, we did the contemporary masses.
At your Catholic church?
We did home masses.
Whoa.
We weren't allowed to be in the sanctuary for the contemporary masses, so we usually had them in the school.
Oh, interesting.
And it was kind of interesting to see how the transformation between the two really didn't click, and it didn't really last that long. So you still get guitar masses, but they aren't near as excitable as what the ones were in the 60s and 70s when we were doing it.
Now, you're saying we. Were you, like, part of that?
My family was part of it. So, you know, my mom and dad were very much involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's the atmosphere we grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
When my sister made her first communion, she made it at home, so which was kind of unheard of in the Catholic Church.
Wow.
So, but yeah, That was my upbringing.
That's unlike anything I've ever heard.
I know. It's interesting, isn't it?
You get, like, the Catholic, and you get other, like, kind of like, my family made their own granola and did church in a bus, or, like, whatever, and then
it's
not,
kind of like a hippie state a little bit.
I know. I'm kind
of. It was the 60s and 70s, though.
What's that movie, Jesus Revolution?
Yes.
Did you relate to that movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, very much so.
There's this very interesting movie, Jesus Revolution, and it's true stories, right?
Yes.
Like of this guy in California.
Greg Laurie, yes.
And he just kind of created this new atmosphere around following Jesus, like crazy baptisms in the ocean.
Yes.
And I've heard people say, gosh, I related to that. I remember that kind of
stuff. I do remember
that. Waves of things happening.
Yes.
Yeah. How did that look?
It's kind of like the revolution that's going on right now.
Yeah.
But it was kind of in the Catholic Church, too. Mm. And then it was all shut down.
Say more about that. What do you know? Why?
I don't know a lot about why.
Okay.
I just know that it was ruffling a lot of the elders' feathers a little bit. So I think that's what it was, that they didn't really want to go that far to one side.
Mm.
They wanted to keep the tradition of the Catholic Church, and I think that was important to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of died down, you know, after the 70s again.
Okay.
So
in your personal walk then, you were involved in those things in your teenage years?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was kind of preteen
and
then teenage. We used to go to people's houses, and they would have big sing-alongs.
Mm.
And, you know, my brother learned to play guitar, and it was like One Tin Soldier kind of thing, if you know that song.
I don't, but are we adding it to the playlist?
You will look it up.
Okay.
No, I don't know. You will look it up, though.
Okay, One Tin Soldier, writing it down. Got it.
So, but yeah.
So then as that died down, did that, like, impact your faith or your walk with God personally, or you just kind of kept marching?
Yeah, I don't know that I had a personal relationship with God at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I still felt like I was doing what I was supposed to do
doing the right
in my
thing.
Religion
mm-hmm.
and not so much my relationship.
Ooh, yep. Okay, we'll dig more into those two words, religion versus relationship, I'm guessing. Okay, so you've got religion going on. You've got the Sunday morning check boxes and everything, doing the right thing.
Yes.
And then you're going to school, and then you're doing your thing and and going back. Okay.
Right.
How did that play out as you matured into a young adult and beyond?
Well, I married very young.
Okay.
I married right out of high school.
Wow.
I married my high school sweetheart.
Oh, wow.
And he was Catholic, but he was more traditional Catholic than what I was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was understood that we would raise our kids Catholic then because at the time when you got married,
you
there were documents
that, right? Like,
that you sign saying that you would raise your kids Catholic.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, we're just kind of starting out. He's working on his career. I wanted to be a mom. I didn't really want so much a career.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a couple years before we had kids.
Mm-hmm.
And church wasn't top priority at that point.
Okay.
I think we were just kind of trying to find ourselves and it wasn't an important part of that early part of our marriage, even though we were married in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
So it really became important to us once we had children.
Right. Then you got to start the baptism, start
rituals. Making sure they're making their sacraments.
Right.
And
can you explain that? I don't know what that phrase is, making their sacraments.
So the Catholic Church has certain activities that are considered sacraments.
Okay.
Your first communion, your first confession, your confirmation, your marriage, your last rites.
Okay.
Those are all sacraments in the church. They're sacred to the Catholic Church.
Yeah. So it's these big life events. It's not like a regular weekly kind of
thing.
No,
no. It's much more of a special event.
Mm-hmm.
And
interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So
That starts at infant baptism.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly.
On you.
So,
okay.
You know, when we had Adam, I have two children. Mm-hmm. So when I had Adam, he was baptized in our church and, you know, we were just kind of moving right along with it. So, I have, like I said, two children, Adam and Julie, and they're about 7 years apart.
Wow.
So I was working full time when I had Adam, and then when I had Julie, I wanted to cut down on that. Mm-hmm. So, but little did I know when we bought our house in Norton that I had a celebrity that lived a couple doors down from me.
Okay.
The name Bob Combs.
Combs. Yeah, I feel like I've heard that once or twice around here. Pastor Bob.
Yeah. Bob and Julie. They were my neighbors.
Tell us a little more about Bob and Julie.
So their son, Sean, was Adam's best friend. And so they would say, could Adam come to Bible school? Could Adam go to camp with Sean? Could, and I was like, really not supposed to, but okay.
Wow.
You know, it's the same God.
Yeah.
So.
But you had to literally overcome a hurdle for that.
I did. I did. So.
And kind of joking aside, Pastor Bob is the pastor of our parent church, our grandparent church, maybe, I don't know, our legacy church.
Yes.
Grace Norton.
Right.
And he's a legend, and
he is in our church.
He's the one who Pastor Jeff might mention him because he really was pivotal in his.
I think Adam said as well. Jeff was living in the basement at Bob and Julie's house when him and Sean were kind of hanging out, you
bananas.
Know, in those early years.
Oh
he
gosh.
Might have been like 7 or 8 at the time,
that's
you know.
That's so funny.
So, but
okay, so you're saying that you're like overcoming, like, I guess I could allow him to go, which is so interesting because a parent of, like, a non-believing parent would have said, okay, I guess I could let it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like similar, but you're saying in your mind and heart it was same God, why should this be a problem?
Right.
You're able to do that math yourself without your structural religion telling you yes or no. Okay.
Right. And Bob and Julie, I mean, to me, they were just my neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he was a pastor, but I didn't have any idea how big he was making an impact on Adam, because he really was, which shows now in Adam's relationship. He still has a relationship with Bob, and he married Adam and Wendy. Mm. And he came to me several times and said, I see a spiritual side to Adam that you could nurture.
Mm.
Because in the Catholic Church, you just go to church, go to your religion class, and you kind of come home and you don't really think about it the rest of the week then.
Yeah.
So it was, I think, more of a struggle for my husband, Greg, because...
he was traditional anyway.
He was, very traditional. And went to Catholic school through the 8th grade.
Yeah.
So he was much more interested in the traditions of the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
I was much more liberal. I wanted to
noticed.
go against the grain a little bit because I didn't understand a lot of the Catholic traditions and I didn't go along with them.
Right.
So.
Right. Okay. Yeah, like in the why of this and asking those questions.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So. You kind of got on board, at least from a what's it going to hurt kind of thing. But not thinking what's it going to help necessarily.
Yes.
So
and
when, keep going.
How is he going to grow from that?
Mm-hmm.
Which he did.
Yeah.
He really did. And I am overwhelmed with the relationship that both of my children have with Jesus.
Mm.
It's amazing. And even their children. The same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They have a relationship, which I never really had until my 60s to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, wonderful to see. And I keep thinking, what took me so long?
Yeah.
You know, because here's my grandchildren.
Right.
And they know Jesus.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a relationship with him.
Yeah. I was just talking to somebody who was sharing similar thoughts, like what ifs and... Man, I regrets or something like that. And they were actually even thinking of this for their child who they had not raised and now, oh, I wish that. And I just, I don't know, the spirit was just like, there's this song, Oh, How He Loves Us. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us.
Yes, I love that.
Like,
by
don't
Crowder.
Live
yes.
there. Live in the, okay, he loves us. I've got... Even if it's minutes left in my life, even if it's years, whatever that looks like.
Yes.
But I understand what you're saying to say, well, these kids have the gift of being in a church like this from birth.
From the very beginning.
Right.
Yes.
And that's going to just be a different formation process. We hear that in unscripted episodes. When I have a 21-year-old come in and I'm like, oh, this is going to be short. And then I'm like, whoa, there's so much just
they have so
in
much to
life.
Say.
They do.
They have so much to give, you know, because they have that relationship with Jesus already. And it's so wonderful to see, you know, and it kind of makes me sad that I missed all that, you know, and I was so worried about my kids making their sacraments and doing the right thing and going to church and going through the motions and, but never really growing, you know, and I tried to be involved with my church. We had weekend retreats, kind of like. We didn't spend the night. We would come and go. But I got involved with that. I even led one of them, thinking this is going to, you know, spark something for me. But it was almost like I was forcing myself. It wasn't a natural feel of the spirit, you know, that I feel now. So it's
just a little more task oriented.
I think it
perhaps,
is.
Or like we said, the religion versus relationship.
Yes.
Interesting. So as Adam's going to some extracurricular things with the neighbor boy and you're like coming okay with this, how did that script start to flip where your family, when did it? Like how did it happen?
So at the age of 13, Adam was supposed to make the sacrament of confirmation, which is where you renew the vows that your godparents made for you and accept the Catholic Church as your church. And he came to me and he said, I'm not ready to make that commitment to the Catholic Church. And we were like, what do we do? So we went to our priest and he said, you make him make the sacrament. And I said, but I can't do that. He's telling me he's not ready. And he said, but you signed the document that said you are raising him Catholic, and it's your responsibility as his parent to continue that. So we went home and we talked about it, and I said, Adam, just do it. Which kind of broke my heart. Because he was saying, I'm not ready to make the commitment to the Catholic Church, but maybe he was also saying, but I am ready to make it to Jesus. But we couldn't hear that because we were so worried about
contractual obligations. That's that transactional relationship that we can fall into.
So I told him, I said, when you make it, then if you don't want to come to our church anymore, you don't have to. And he didn't. So I kind of felt like a failure a little bit that I had, you know, went ahead and forced him to do something that I knew he wasn't ready to do. But in the Catholic eyes, I was good. Because I had forced that.
Oh my gosh, this is, it makes so much sense on paper, but it just makes zero sense in your heart as you really think about that and really looking at an individual, like a soul that doesn't fall into a timeline.
I know.
Or a plan. I mean, this last weekend or recently, Pastor Jeff talked about the plans that we shouldn't be making. Like, how do we know what tomorrow we'll have, let alone a year from now? So how do we plan? So,
not my will, but
so
yours.
If you're born and you're told at 13 your child will do this.
Yes.
Well, maybe that's not the right. And I'm curious how the Bible falls into.
Well, and that's just it. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, you know, you have to commit at the age of 13 or you have to commit. It's, they're man-made rules. And that's my big thing with religion is those rules, as society changes, they change. So the rules should come from the Bible because those are the rules that God set for us. And all of this other religion gets in the way of that. And it tears people apart. I mean, there's wars because of religion. And that's...
Yeah, and when people say like, oh, sorry, I'm not very religious... It's nice to say, like, good, neither am I.
Exactly.
Guess what? Neither was Jesus, actually.
Exactly.
You're in good company.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so Adam makes this pretty huge decision. You have a daughter who's still pretty young,
yes.
not yet hitting the 13 zone.
Right.
So you've got these years of wrestling or whatever that looks like. Is Adam still connecting at Grace Church with the
yes,
neighbors?
Yes, he was still going with Sean mm-hmm. To services and camp and anything that he could get mm-hmm. and anything I could get him in. Mm. So, and like I said, thank goodness for Pastor Bob.
Yeah.
Because he knew there was something that Adam mm-hmm. had in him, and it probably didn't conform to the Catholic Church mm-hmm. like it should have, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's my mistake. Maybe I wasn't a good Catholic because I allowed him to attend other churches and mm-hmm. attend other things. But the Catholics weren't really offering that much to children. Mm-hmm. So this gave him an opportunity to grow in a relationship with God. And mm-hmm. what could be wrong with that?
Yeah, for sure.
So,
for sure.
But yeah.
Okay, so then how did that carry forth and how did that transition into your light and life and...
Well,
beliefs.
We continued with the Catholic Church mm-hmm. because that's what we knew.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. And Julie made all of her sacraments. Mm. She made her confirmation because she didn't really have the prompting. At that time, we moved away from mm-hmm. Bob and Julie, moved further out into Norton. And so she didn't have the mentorship. Mm-hmm. or the opportunities. So mm-hmm. she stayed with the Catholic yeah. Church, and she raised her children Catholic for a while. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was Greg's probably the only one Catholic right now out of mm-hmm. the entire family. Mm-hmm. So I think we all found that we needed more. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I went looking for, too, was
okay.
more.
Let's dig into so, that. How did that pursuit look?
Well, I had a couple things happen in my life that were devastating. Two of my grandchildren, my two oldest grandchildren, were diagnosed with a disease called spinal muscular atrophy.
Okay.
It's a form of muscular dystrophy. And they will probably end up in a wheelchair eventually.
Okay.
Except we have new treatments.
Mm.
So when they were first diagnosed, my daughter lived in England. Her then husband was in the military.
Mm.
And she was looking for the problem. We knew there was a problem with Olivia. She was pregnant with her second child at the time. They weren't getting the proper care that they needed on base. They just didn't have the knowledge on base. She went to Cambridge University in London
yeah.
and was diagnosed there with the spinal muscular atrophy.
At what age?
She was 3.
Wow.
It was 2011, and I was devastated to think that God would allow children to be in wheelchairs.
Mm.
And I would go to Mass, and I would sob. Mm. I mean, sob to where it was almost embarrassing.
Mm.
That I was so distraught through mm-hmm. the service to where I quit going.
Mm-hmm.
I just was so mad at God.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to interact with him on that level. And so I just shut the relationship down.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want a relationship mm-hmm. with God anymore.
Well, when someone violates a contract.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
You fulfilled all your duties.
Right.
He wasn't fulfilling his at that time.
Right. So, and then in 2013, I lost my dad to lung cancer. And I was preparing for holidays. Would have been our first holiday without my dad.
Mm.
And I wasn't feeling right. But I thought it was the stress of the holidays. And I got to a point where, like, I would look at scissors and I couldn't figure out what fingers to put in the scissors. Or I'd look at a can opener and I couldn't figure out how to use a can opener.
Mm.
And I told my husband, I said, I feel like I had a stroke or something. Something's wrong.
Mm.
And I went for an MRI. And the doctor asked me to come back in, and he said, when you come in, don't come alone. And I got the diagnosis of stage 4 cancer.
Oh, my.
So I had a brain tumor.
What?
I had 4 brain tumors.
What?
And I had brain surgery. I had brain radiation.
Oh, my gosh.
They found out that the original tumor was in my lungs. So the diagnosis was metastasized lung cancer. And I had just lost my dad to lung cancer 6 months before. But this time, instead of being mad, because I really said, God, I thought the plan you had for me was to help take care of my children, my grandchildren. My daughter was a single mom then, and really thought that that was what he had going for me.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, I have 18 months to live.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, I don't understand. And it got down to where not my will, but yours.
Dangerous words.
Yes.
Dangerous prayers.
Yeah. So I found out that my grandchildren was going to teach me a lesson, teach me how to be strong through treatments, teach me how to understand the love of God, because when all else is gone, the thought of my life is gone, what really, really matters is my relationship with God. And that's where my turning point was. I wanted to seek him. I wanted to find him. I wanted to run to him.
Wow.
Because there was so much turmoil in my life, and I wanted to just be still and know. And that is my favorite verse to this day, is I just want to know you. And I love collective when Zach wrote, I want to know you. It's like, yes, that's what I want. I want that in my life.
I want to adore you.
Yes.
I want to be close to you.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, this is powerful. You just said a lot of words and numbers, some of which aren't adding up to me right now because there's a very healthy and vibrant lady sitting across from me.
Right.
So you wanted to seek, to find, and to run.
Yes.
To your God.
Yes.
And you had a limited amount of time.
To do it.
At that time.
Yeah.
So what did that, what happened?
Well, I'm still in treatment. I have a non-curable lung cancer, but I have a target medication that keeps it in control. So I went from 18 months to live to 11 and a half years later. And
you guys can't see my face right now, but just, my jaw's on the floor and my eyebrows are on the roof.
Just by the grace of God. Just by the grace of God.
That was 11 years ago?
That was 11 years ago. Yeah.
I can't understand this.
I don't understand it either.
Yeah.
Except he's not done with me.
Right.
And my grandchildren are not in wheelchairs.
What?
They did a couple years of spinal injections with a medication to help them. And then they switched over with modern medicine. They came up with a pill that my grandkids take every day, like I take every day, to keep my cancer in check. So God is so good and allows so much more life than what you could actually ever imagine.
Well, that has a few meanings to it, Lisa.
Yeah.
He allows more life. You know the word Zoe, life to the full.
Okay.
Not just life, not just living minutes.
Yes.
But life to the fullest.
Yes.
And he allows that for us. So what did that look like for you to start to live?
It was 4 more grandchildren for me.
Oh.
It was coming together with a group of women in my life that showed me the Bible and showed me how to take the Bible in and helped me navigate through the Bible. I never picked up a Bible in right. In my Catholic religion.
Right, to read it yourself.
There was a missalette that you followed, and so, you know, you couldn't relate those readings in the missalette to the Bible.
Mm.
I couldn't tell you where the books in the Bible were,
mm-hmm.
and it just never was part of my life.
There's so many people like you. There's
yes.
so many people with that as part of their story.
Yes.
At some point, whether they realized it at 20, 30, 60,
yeah,
you're not alone in that, but I'm glad that that shifted.
I was going to say, but it really just made all the difference to me because I'm basing my religion on a book that is God's words,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know that book.
Mm.
So something was wrong.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it took the illness to do that to me. Maybe, maybe mm. not. I think it was God moving in my life and me seeing that God was moving in my life.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the difference was.
So would you say, Lisa, that there was a moment that you had an awakening, that you accepted Jesus as your personal savior? Or was this just like you started to read a little and you dabbled, it came to different things? How did that happen?
I think it was more gradual.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know that there was ever really like a standout moment.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, after my diagnosis and recovering from the brain surgery and everything, that mm. I cried out to him and got a response.
Yeah.
You know,
do you
he's
remember
like,
what that sounded
get to
like?
Know me better.
Okay.
You know, and by then, Adam and Wendy were very active at Grace.
Mm.
And she said, come to a Bible study.
Mm.
She's like, I think you'll get a lot out of it. And I was like, yes, I want to learn. I want to
okay.
know.
Wow.
And it made such a huge difference in my mm. life to see these women come together. And there was, we finished our first Bible study, and the first one I did was the Book of Ruth.
Mm.
And I thought, okay, let's start simple
mm.
and, you know, something that I can understand, and I'll work my way into it then.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a girl, a woman approach me after the study, and she said, hey, I see that you're really interested in wanting to learn more. She's like, I have done Bible studies for many years.
Mm.
Would you want to get together and pick a book and do another book
wow.
in the Bible?
Just
and,
the two of you.
Yeah. And she came to my home, which was like, wow,
that's
I can't incredible. Believe that she would take the time out of her day to feed the Word of God to me.
Mm.
And I felt like that's where I want to be.
That's how Jesus taught us
yes.
to do stuff.
Yes.
That is.
And for her to evangelize like that
yes.
was kind of mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
You know, that this is what religion should be.
Sure.
And
yeah.
I continued to go continuously to mm-hmm. the Wednesday morning Bible
mm-hmm.
studies. Got involved with a life group
mm.
And finally made the decision that I was not going to return to the Catholic Church.
Were you going to the Catholic Church on weekends during all of that?
I was.
Okay.
I was.
Did you come to Grace services as well or just?
We did Christmas. It was part of our Christmas Aww, tradition.
Lovely. Okay.
And so the whole family would do a Grace service mm-hmm. before Christmas, Christmas Eve usually. And we would come back and open presents.
Mm-hmm.
So it became a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that I enjoyed being at Grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt very at home when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was huge, and I mean huge, in my marriage to leave the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Because it is something my husband and I share.
Yeah.
And I was very afraid of what it would do to our relationship
of course, yeah.
by leaving my Catholic Church
mm-hmm.
because he wasn't going to leave.
Okay.
He's very comfortable in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I ever felt really that comfortable there. Mm-hmm. So we talked about it, and he was very supportive, mm-hmm. to my surprise.
Yeah.
And now it's, he goes to Mass, and I go to service, mm-hmm. and we come back and we talk about it, mm-hmm. which is so much more than we ever talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Before,
I can believe that
in the Catholic Church, we never came home. Even on the way home from Mass,
sure.
we never
discussed
it.
You're like, are we getting biscuits or are we getting pancakes,
yes.
bacon, sausage?
Yes.
Like,
how can we race out of the parking lot mm-hmm. fast enough? You know, but I really was afraid, and it just has been the opposite.
Mm.
And again, I feel like it's God working in my life that. Mm-hmm. You know, he's giving me more opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like since my diagnosis, I've probably grown stronger in my faith than I ever have.
And some would call that like, oh, this terrible thing that happened in your life is diagnosis. But in God's economy, it's this wonderful thing that gave
it
you
is.
Time to pause, to
yes.
be still.
Yes.
To know that
to
he
know.
Is mightier and more powerful. That verse, be still and know, is couched between all of these expressions of God's power.
Yeah.
Though mountains crumble and earthquakes and mountains fall into the heart of the sea, yeah. all this, and there's war and all this evidence of power. And then he says, be still.
Yes.
In the midst of
in
all
the
of
chaos,
that. Mm-hmm.
And that's what my life was, chaos.
Yes, and then one of my favorite parts is in there too. It says there's a river, and it is part of, it's just a joyful place to dwell, and that's like heaven, right?
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Yes.
And it can be in the midst of that as well, when
yes.
we're still, and when we know, and when we have reverence for the might and power of the God of all creation, who
yes.
also sits and whispers with us when
yes.
we're still. That's it's Psalm 46 is what we're talking about right
46,
now. 46:10. Yes, if you want to look that up, read the whole thing, because there's so much in there that is
yes.
beautiful. Life verse kind of stuff, but the fact that as mountains were crumbling into the heart of the sea, you were able to be still because he pursued you.
Right. And I didn't have a lot of choice in being still because I was taken out of society
yeah.
for a while.
Yeah, and he cared enough to do that for you.
Yeah.
And if you're able to have that perspective on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that is our silver lining.
Perspective to have.
You know, and I think that, you know, people look at look at my grandchildren and think, oh, poor kids.
Right.
You know, that's sad. And that is not the life that they lead at all. My granddaughter is going to Cedarville University this year.
Wow.
She is going to major in pharmaceutical science.
Wow.
She is so vibrant and just an amazing young woman who centers her life around Jesus.
Well, and you know, God is the ultimate physician, and our bodies were made perfectly to heal and all these wonderful things.
Yes.
And that God of all creation created science and created medical interventions that are gifts.
Yes.
Like these medications you're talking about. And she received that, and I'm guessing that's why she's going to go and find more gifts to give to other families
right.
through her education.
Yeah, and they're both, all of my grandkids, not just the two of them, but I think of them because of the obstacles that they
sure.
have in their lives.
Sure.
But they're very vocal about their relationship
mm-hmm.
with God.
Mm-hmm.
They, as high school, you know, my grandson, today's his birthday. He's turning 16 today.
Mm.
And he's so forward about his relationship.
Mm.
You know, he isn't afraid to say that in the high school setting.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember thinking, that's not the way it was when we were young.
Yeah, that's,
you kinda,
that's a ticket to get name called and labeled. And
right, you're kind of a nerd to be in. And now it's cool.
Yeah, yeah. And even if it weren't, you know.
Yes.
I'm sure that they could still be sustained through that.
Yes.
Well, you've mentioned Wendy several times already.
Yes.
And Wendy is your daughter-in-law, right?
Correct.
So Adam, neighbor to Bob and Sean, buddies. So Wendy, who, if you're listening, has an episode as well. So after you finish this one, rewind it back and find Wendy's episode.
Find Wendy's.
And try to triangulate all the story because I'm like remembering back to hers and putting some pieces together.
Yeah.
But yes, and she invited you to the Bible studies initially.
She did.
And then you made the transition to coming here, and
yes.
How has that continued to grow?
It's pretty amazing to me because I have found my people.
Oh, that is the greatest gift of life. And
isn't it?
If you know that statement, like, I have found my people,
yes,
it is like honey. However, if you are listening to this and you haven't found your people, I want to just pause for a moment and say, like, we can help, whether it's – it might not be Lisa and I, but this church body is filled with people who want to help without – it can feel a little hard to get through some noise and plus the way that the world is with busyness and all that stuff. But I want to hear about your people. What does that sound
like
for
you? My people are – they're a pretty amazing group, I have to say. We've been doing the same Bible study on Wednesday mornings for such a long time, and in between studies, we meet at each other's houses and – continue to pick a book to study or just to be able to feed into each other's lives. It's pretty different to me with my Catholic upbringing to see how outwardly they want to be a part of your life and want to help you grow in your relationship with God.
Yeah.
And
not just the
do
shiny
life
parts.
With you.
Yeah, not just the shiny parts either.
Do
maybe
life
a little
with
bit
you.
Down into the deep dark parts.
Yes.
And they're willing to step into that basement and
dust
off the cobwebs
exactly.
and get the skeletons out.
We just did a cleaning of a woman's house that's in my life group that has some medical problems. And we're just there with each other and working towards... heaven.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh.
So it's such a warm group.
So was that crew at the retreat together this year?
We did do the retreat together this year.
All
and,
right.
You know, because of my medical condition and side effects, I've always put off weekends because I just never know how I'm going to feel. And Wendy was very much a part of the retreat this time.
She sure was.
And she said, I think I can get you a cabin where it's a little more private. Mm. It's not so much like a
shared dormitory.
Right, right. And she said, there's usually four bedrooms in each cabin like that. So if you know somebody that is kind of doing the same thing you're doing, not attending because of a health issue or something like that, please let them know that this year we have an option for them. So I had my crew with me.
That's amazing.
And we really enjoyed
it. Was
ourselves.
That a hurdle for all of them? Were they all like, oh, hem-haw, I don't know if a women's
retreat's
for me.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot. I
yes.
hear, oh, women's retreats aren't for me for
yes.
a variety of reasons.
Yes.
But...
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it was kind of cool that, you know, we could come back to the cabin afterwards and still have our own private space if we needed it, which, you know, it was kind of nice and gave us the option when we had nothing.
Removing
before.
Any barriers that
yes.
possibly could hold someone back, including a medical issue. That's a nice option. Yeah.
Yeah. So we just, I just kind of continued to do life. I quit living in increments of 3 to 4 months because that's when my scans are. And I felt like I've put all that aside now, and I've put all the anxiety aside, the scansiety, as we call it in the cancer
that's
world.
Such a good word. I mean, it's an awful word.
It is a bad word, but it is
an inclusive word. It's an understandable word.
Exactly, exactly. And I've just let my Lord and Savior take over for me, and He has not let me down. Mm. He is there for me, mm-hmm. and I feel so blessed to have come this far in my journey, mm-hmm. and know that each day is a blessing.
Wow. So. Whew. Well, I'm going to pick my jaw back up off the floor because it's just a miraculous.
It is miraculous.
And powerful story with decades of learning and thanks for sharing it.
My pleasure.
Anything else from the retreat takeaways, like having gone with those ladies that, you know, experienced something like that for the first time?
We keep adding to our crew, mm-hmm. so to see women being baptized, mm-hmm. and that was so impactful, and it really made an impact on me. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been baptized as a Catholic. I don't know for sure if God's leading me in a new direction to that, mm-hmm. but I have learned to be still and listen to Him. Mm-hmm. And when I first started with study, I was like, I want to hear God. Mm-hmm. I want Him to speak to me. Mm-hmm. I don't get that. I don't understand that. When you say God spoke to me, I don't hear Him. Mm-hmm. But I am starting to understand mm-hmm. the prompts, mm-hmm. you know, the Holy Spirit working through mm-hmm. me. I don't hear His voice, mm-hmm. but I sure see Him working.
Mm-hmm. And maybe sometimes it's just that scripture. They'll say a lot of times God's voice sounds like scripture, and it's just a drawing of a specific verse that you've studied, that you've
yes.
worked through with your girlfriends, and then it's drawn to your mind at the right moment.
Right.
And that's it. That's part of it.
Yeah. And even my mom, you know, she's like, I see such a difference in you, mm-hmm. and I love that, mm. you know, and I said, I'm glad you love it, Mom, because mm. I do too. Mm-hmm. You know, I want, and we did the Book of Revelation,
ooh, which was a tough one.
Which was really it was very good then.
I believe it.
It was a Jen Wilkins study, mm. and she took it line by line so that we all could understand it. And my mom said to me, I can't believe that you really get it. You understand it now. And I said, mm-hmm. I've got the workbook, Mom. We can go over it if you want to. And she's like, okay, let's do that. Mm-hmm. So the studies are huge for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because I could have never tackled Revelation by myself. Mm-hmm. So the amount of time that you see someone putting into leading a study is amazing mm-hmm. to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm more of a background kind of person.
Mm. Oh, they're so like, necessary.
You know, I do the coffee in the
so
morning.
Helpful, yes.
You know, I make the get the snacks set up and everything. And I've done that through several studies.
Yes.
And
that empowers everything else to happen.
True.
Honestly.
I guess, the coffee.
Yes. Yes.
But to see the time and effort that these women put into mm-hmm. these studies is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. So my friend led her first study this last time, mm-hmm. and we did Proverbs. Mm-hmm. And she was really wanting somebody to take something from it, mm-hmm. and we all did.
I believe it.
So, you know, and just the it's – Proverbs is a really good start in a lot of cases because there's 31 chapters and there's 31 days in a month.
Yeah.
So we were supposed to take a chapter each day, which was really neat. And I'm finding how close what Jeff is talking about now, the book of James, is like the New Testament Proverbs. Mm.
Like just wisdom. Well, yes, that's what we're talking wisdom. About. God's
yes.
wisdom.
God's wisdom. Right. Yes.
God's kind of wisdom.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah.
Amazing.
It all ties together.
It does. Oh, the best things do. Yeah. That's just, yeah. And that's evidence. You know, I always think of the tapestry and the literal tying together, binding together, yes. weaving together of all the threads. And we see a picture slowly coming into focus. And on the backside, all the threads are intertwining and yes. going all over the place. And that's God's masterful design that I can't wait to ask him about in heaven.
I know.
How'd you do that?
Yeah.
Show me.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's what we'll get to bask in someday.
Yeah.
But not today.
Not for me. I don't know.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm looking forward to the first study that you lead.
Oh.
Maybe.
There's an interesting thought.
Really? For your girlfriend did it?
She I know. And I always think I'm so new at this. Mm-hmm. I'm so new at it.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like Satan but right there.
I know. Mm-hmm. That's what I keep hearing, too.
Don't fall into that trickery.
I know.
Someone else will make the coffee next time.
That's right.
You get the book. You find, you just spend some time with the Lord, and you say, what can I bring to this group? What do they need, actually? What do they need to hear? Lord, show it to me and help me to bring it. And they'll do the rest.
That would be wonderful.
Listen, just be still.
Yeah.
He'll show you.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, speaking of all of that, we have our worship playlist.
Yes.
Which is another way to, well, I don't ever be still when I'm worshiping, but.
I'm not usually either. Yeah. I really love music.
Oh,
I really love the amount of talent that we have at Grace mm-hmm. Church. It's mm-hmm. pretty amazing.
It is wonderful that we get to enjoy this.
Yes.
All the time. And the gifts and talents shared, including your daughter-in-law, Wendy,
yes.
part of the worship band.
I love when she's up front singing.
And the beauty of that story, too. Again, listen to her episode to understand why that's so beautiful. But what song would you like to add to the unscripted worship playlist that all of our listeners can find on Spotify?
Yeah, I would like to add It Is Well mm-hmm. by Bethel Music.
Yes.
Kristen DeMarco.
Ooh, okay.
Or Christine. They spell it two different ways, so I'm not really sure. It's K-R-I-S-T-E-N-E or no E on the end.
Artists, they've got to have some funky spelling of something, right?
Yeah, but it's so good.
All right, so talk to me about It As Well. What drew that out for you?
The first time I heard it was at my daughter's church. She lives in Ashland.
Mm.
So they attend a little church in Loudonville, and it's like a miniature Grace.
Mm.
It's just so cool to see these young families mm-hmm. and growing together. And I think the words through it all, my eyes were on you. And I think that, to me, is where I feel like I am. And I think for me, when I got my diagnosis, that's immediately where I fell.
Yeah.
So through it all, he is there.
Yes.
And my eyes will be on him.
Ooh, yes, I'm like thinking about that song. And what's interesting about music is like when you have an encounter with a worship song, this can happen with scripture as well. When you have an encounter with a piece of scripture or a worship song, sometimes worship songs are pieces of scripture, and you know what I'm saying, and you have an experience with it. For example, the music playing when 18 women were baptized at the women's retreat.
Yes.
Like you hear those songs at church now, you feel it hits different.
Oh, yeah.
It hits different. They start playing Prodigals, you're like, I remember
the
time that my girlfriend came over to me and said, will you baptize me while this song was, okay, yeah, this song hits a little different now.
It does.
And that emotional connection, and as I'm thinking about the song, It As Well, and the experiences I've had with it, played at funerals.
I know. I played it for the first time in my group, and my friend said, we played that at my son's funeral. And I thought, I either was meant to share that to for her,
mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, maybe that upset her then. But I think it's just
It's emotion. It's what's good, yes. what's bad. We don't know those definitions quite like God does. So yes. when we, yeah, it was a hard experience for sure and might have drawn back to that space. But if this is a believer who can find yes. hope in it, then it can tie it back to something.
Right.
But I think you're right. Like, through it all, like, and this is one of the songs I repeat, through it all, my eyes are on you. And it through it well. All, it is well. And then you think of the origin, if I've got my history correct, of the original, like, it is well. Do you know what
was
I'm talking
Catholic,
about?
Yes.
Tell that story. Maybe you can tell it more accurately than I could.
I don't know the actual story behind mm-hmm. it all, but I do know it was a hymn mm-hmm. that we used to sing at mm-hmm. church.
From my understanding and remembrance, it was a man who had been on a ship with his family, like a long, you know, when people traveled by ship, uh-huh. maybe even like coming to America.
Okay.
And his family was coming to him, his wife and children, and that ship sank in the water in his visible sight.
Oh my goodness.
And his response to that was to write the song, It Is Well.
That's a pretty amazing story.
So if you think of that, and all of us yeah. who experienced this version or that version, any version of this at a funeral wow. or at a hardship of some kind, it was written, it's like a psalm.
Yeah.
Right? A psalm of lament, a psalm
yes.
of deep sadness, but not without hope.
Yes, because that's what it was for me.
Right.
You know, when I heard it for the first time. And I'm one of those people that I hear songs and I cry.
Yes.
I'm always crying in church. At least it's not sobbing mm-hmm. for something, but it's happy tears
yeah.
that just the music just moves me
mm-hmm.
because it's my heart just swells when I hear it because it confirms my relationship that I have with God now
mm-hmm.
that I longed for probably so many years of my life.
Mm.
And it took a couple huge bad years
mm.
to really change it around for me
mm-hmm.
and see that what a blessing it is and what a blessing my life has been. And if I'm not here tomorrow, I'm so content
mm-hmm.
with what has gone on,
mm-hmm.
especially in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And there can be so much more in the next 5.
Absolutely.
You're not done yet.
I know that. Mm. That is the reason why I'm still here.
Mm.
I have so much more to give.
Mm. Well, I'm glad to have you as part of our Grace Church family to receive those mm. gifts.
Thank you.
And not just making coffee, girl. You're doing a lot, I'm sure, for your table, bringing your group to the retreat and sharing that with others. And next year you'll probably bring an even larger group and just really using your story to share with others. So I do want to say, if anybody's listening to this, between all the things that Lisa shared with us, Catholic upbringing and diagnoses and family interactions and all of that, religion, relationship, if you have questions about any of this, she has graciously offered to be open to speaking to somebody, or if there's anybody at Grace Church that you'd like to discuss those things with, you can write to us at unscripted@graceohio.org. We can get you connected to Lisa, or again, anyone on staff, because this is wonderful to hear these stories, but like, what's next? What do you do with everything we just heard? Like, I have a miracle sitting across from me, and that's something that we shouldn't take lightly. So if there's something stirring in your heart, yeah, pick up that phone and reach out, and we'd love to help connect you. Thanks so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.